Good morning and welcome to our service. Today we're going to be reflecting on what God's Word says about bearing fruit, spiritual fruit in the Lord. We begin with a prayer. O Lord God, our merciful Father, you invited us to come and drink the living waters and never thirst again. We desire the water of life to quench our thirsting souls, and have come here to receive the living water in your word. Lord, may you refresh us today with your word of truth and comfort us in the gift of eternal life through Jesus. May your spirit produce a well of water in us as we go about in this spiritually barren and parched world. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our first hymn is hymn 790, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Please stand. Our service continues with the liturgy in the bottom of page 2 in the bulletin, and we conduct the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits of faith, displaying a spirit of Christian love and hope through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, immortal God, with your Son and the Holy Spirit, living and reigning now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. If we are to bear Christian fruit in our lives, it's important for us to know what God's will is for us, how he wants us to walk. And so we find the prophet Moses writing by inspiration in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 to 14, these helpful words. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. And here we find Jesus giving us a parable of a believer bearing Christian fruit by showing love for his enemy. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And so he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you shall live. In other words, perfectly keep that law, and you will have eternal life, which you couldn't, nor can we. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, He had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the 3rd day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge 1 baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, hymn 707, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways." Stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider this morning are taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may work worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the vine, the spiritual vine, from whom we receive strength to produce Christian fruit. Dear fellow redeemed. Summer is a delightful time of year, as it is the fruit-bearing season, with gardeners and truck farmers gathering in vegetables, orchard growers gathering in fruit from their trees, and farmers harvesting grain from their fields. This is a good time of year, both for the producer and the consumer. The growers enjoy the blessing of harvesting what God has enabled the soil to produce, and consumers enjoy the benefit of eating the various foods that God gives them for health and strength. In the spiritual realm of Christians, the fruit-bearing season is not limited to a short period of time or a brief segment in our lives. Rather, it is an ongoing season throughout the span of our lives. The kind of fruit we are speaking of is walking the paths that the Lord has laid out for us to walk in out of faith and love. These fruits of the Spirit are described in Scripture as being these: love, tender mercies, humility, meekness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. This being said, as imperfect human beings, we're sadly mindful of the fact that we're not always producing such good fruit in our lives. Just as weeds spring up in our fields and gardens, so also bad fruit comes out of our sin-corrupted hearts in the form of evil thoughts and desires, as well as uncaring comments and evil behavior. As sensitive children of God, we find this kind of fruit distasteful because it's displeasing to our Lord and God. Mournfully conscious of this, we recognize the need for God's mercy and pardon, and for Jesus to abide in us and we in him, so that we remain spiritually alive and bearing much good fruit. In our text for this morning, we learn of Paul's response to the report of a fruit-bearing congregation in the city of Colossae. During Paul's stay in a nearby town or city called Ephesus, he very likely heard of the different kinds of fruitful ways of the Christians in Colossae. And then later on, when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, Pastor Epaphras, the pastor of the Colossian congregation, came to him with a report of the abundant spiritual fruit that his members were bearing. These reports also included the alarming, very alarming news of bad fruit of false teachers the Colossians were exposed to and had their faith endangered. There were aorists who spoke of Christ, used Christian terminology, but they denied Christ and his redemptive work. This is very much like what we find today in certain church groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. They have the same. They talk about Jesus and his work, but they don't acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of all. And so we find that to be the case with liberal churchmen in Christendom today, sadly, but true. In the opening words of Paul's letter to the Colossians, we find this, his prayerful response to the news of these fruit-bearing Christians. He writes, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of what you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and know the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our fellow servant, dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." Ordinarily, when human accomplishments are spoken of, the world is accustomed to speak words of praise and give the credit to people. However, we find Paul doing quite different. He's not giving praise and credit to people because they were bearing Christian fruit. He praises God. Why is this? Aren't the people the ones who are doing the doing? Well, why give all the credit to God? First of all, we don't possess the inner natural strength and will to produce Christian fruit. We simply don't have it in us to decide to exercise Christian love. Secondly, as the Bible declares, it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why we give the honor, glory, and praise to God. He is the one who's responsible anytime we are bearing any kind of good fruit in our lives. So then, next time someone talks about your accomplishments, wouldn't it be fitting for us to speak of the Lord and his hand at work in our lives? You know, I find this time from time to time in public figures, like sports figures, You know, they have great accomplishments that they have. Home runs and no-hitters. And I've heard that when they're interviewed after the game, a lot of times they say, well, God gave me the ability. And they praise Him for their accomplishments. The spiritual fruit the Lord caused to spring forth from the Colossians was Christian love for the saints. He's not talking about people in heaven. Scripture speaks of believers as saints. You know why? Why would the Lord refer to you as a saint? It's because you are holy in His sight through Jesus, not because of anything in you, but because of Jesus. That's why He's referring to the saints. And He found this congregation showing Christian love for the saints, with the redeeming love of God filling their hearts to overflowing. The Colossians placed the needs of others before themselves. And out of selfless love, they sought to be of benefit and help to others. The other day I was visiting with a neighbor. We went out for lunch and discussing different things and talked about how, you know, the Lord gives each of us gifts. What do you use your gifts for? Is it just for yourself? Get a lot of money? Nice home? Nice car? No, the Lord gives us gifts so that we can be of service to others, to be of benefit to other people. That's why He gives us those gifts, abilities. It was a redeeming love of Christ working in these Christians that caused them to think of others, to try to help them. The Colossians displayed such love for all the saints. One of the things that has astounded pagans in the past is that here you got people who are showing love not only for fellow believers who they know, but also for fellow believers they don't even know. How can you give love to them? You don't even know them. They had showed love for all the saints. And yet what is even more amazing to the unbelieving world is that Christians show love for their enemies. Jesus brought that out in the parable of the Good Samaritan. That man, robbed, wounded, left for dead, was a Jew. And Samaritans, they didn't get along with Jews at all. And yet, what do we find the Samaritan doing? When he sees this man who is bleeding and dying, he helps him at great risk. You know, he was still in the area that was very dangerous. Robbers may well be lurking in the neighborhood, but he thought about that man, tried to help him, get him back to good health. The world marvels at something like this, because this kind of spirit does not come naturally. What does come natural is displaying a hateful, unforgiving, and vengeful spirit toward enemies. People have no problem thinking and doing these things. It comes quite natural. This truly amazing spiritual fruit comes from Christian faith, which God cultivates, fertilizes, and waters. Through God's gift of faith, the Lord enables us to draw in, absorb, and lay hold of His saving grace and His eternal blessings in Christ Jesus. The sunlight that God causes to shine in our hearts, that's what enables us, from His Word, that's what enables us to grow and to flourish with good works. And it is the blessed hope which is laid up for us in heaven. Doesn't that do something for you? When you think of your future that God has made possible for you in heaven, that's wonderful. And you're filled with such appreciation that you want to help other people learn about this blessed hope that we have of heaven in Christ Jesus. We show love for other people, not just for fellow believers, but all our neighbors, friend and foe alike. How did that wonderful gift of the sure and certain hope laid up for them in heaven come to the Colossians? Paul declares that it comes to them through the word of the truth of the gospel, which they had heard and learned from their pastor, Pastor Epaphras. Paul writes of that gospel message in the final verses of our text, where we find him continuing his word of praise and thanksgiving to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. When we come face to face with our mortality, being confronted with the prospect of death, we're very concerned about being qualified and fit to inherit heaven. If our thoughts toward thinking our fitness for heaven is dependent upon the way we've lived, a dark cloud hangs over us, because mindful of our many failings, we recognize we have fallen short of the glory of God on countless occasions. On the basis of our own life, we're not fit. We're not qualified to go to heaven. The gospel of Christ delivers us from this sin-darkened way of thinking, of, you know, relying upon, oh, I missed an important part. And that I had referred to before about the false teachers who had come among them. They would lead them down a path that would have led to destruction. They said to the people, in order for you to be fit and be accepted by God and inherit heaven, you have to observe the laws of Moses. And yet when these Colossians looked at their life, they saw how they had miserably failed to keep the law of God countless occasions. The gospel of Christ delivers us from this sin-darkened way of thinking and dispels the gloomy clouds as it causes the radiant rays of God's saving grace to shine in our hearts. The gospel of Christ quite simply and clearly tells us Jesus qualified us for heaven. He has eternally redeemed us in God through the shedding of his precious blood to take away all our many sins. He made full payment for us. And not only did he pay for all of our sins that would otherwise cause us to be deserving of punishment, he lived a perfect life for us in our place so that his righteousness becomes ours. It's through Jesus and Jesus alone that we are qualified and fit to go to heaven. Not by anything that we've done or deserve it. If that creeps into our heart that, oh, I can do a little bit, just a little bit here and there, I should be able to earn God's love and favor if I do things right and say things that are good. And then the Lord comes back to us with the law. It says, okay, you think you can do some things to earn heaven? Well, I'll tell you what. You need to do everything perfect, according to the law, from day one to the very last. And if you mess up one time, you deserve punishment. And that's why we cannot rely upon ourselves to earn or merit heaven. Just can't do it. That's why we need a Jesus, who is our salvation. Not only do we hear Paul giving thanks to God for blessing the Colossians with faith, hope, and love, but we also find him praying that God would enable them to continue to grow. He writes in verses 9 to 11, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." When the false teachers came to the Colossians, they were promising them fuller knowledge, greater wisdom. They would have the Colossians think that, you know what they were learning from Paul and Epaphras, that's just baby steps that they're taking you along your life. That if they really wanted to have the fullness of knowledge and wisdom, they needed to listen to these teachers and follow their man-made teachings. God help us from falling prey to this kind of false teaching that comes from the sin-darkened minds of men. For false teaching robs us of the certainty of our relationship with God. It robs us of the desire and power that we need from God to do his will. And it robs us of a correct understanding of God's ways to walk in and to live by. The faulty teachings the Colossians were being exposed to would not give them fullness. It would give them emptiness. It would not impart true knowledge. It would give them ignorance. It would not bless them with divine wisdom, but rather foolishness of thinking. Even as this was true of the false teachers peddled in Colossae, so also it's true whenever the devil promotes any kind of misbelief in our day. One of the deceptions of the devil that we find in our day is that just a little bit of false teaching, you know, it's different, it's just not quite what you've learned from the Bible, that won't harm you. Okay? No, not okay. How about you let me give you a little bit of poison in your drinking water? Just a little bit. Would that be okay? I don't think you'd take it. Not a little bit. How about if you were infected with just a little bit of cancer? Would that be okay? I don't think so. The Lord says a little bit of poison, a little bit of deadly disease that the devil is dishing out is very dangerous, and we have to stand guard against it. Do we need spiritual growth in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? Paul certainly recognized this need, and that is why he did not cease to pray for his fellow Christians that God would grant them the grace to continue to grow. And he testified that the source book for continued growth is the revealed Word of God, which we possess in the Bible. What happens to a fruit tree when it stops growing? Stops producing fruit. And the only thing that tree is good for is cutting it down for firewood. If ever we were to become spiritually or become neglectful in our use of God's word, not only would we cease to grow, we could become stunted, spiritually speaking, and we could lose what we have gained over the years, and finally become unfruitful. May God preserve us from such a dreadful fate. We need to continue to grow through our use of God's word. Paul reminds us that through our continued use of that word, the Lord blesses us with increased knowledge of God, His gracious ways, and His holy will. And through that word, God strengthens us with all might so that we're enabled by God's grace to walk worthy of the way of the Lord in the ways that are truly pleasing to Him and be fruitful in every good work. How important it is to be strengthened by the Lord, for even as is needful for a fruit tree to be strong in the face of winds, to be able to be rooted in the ground so that they're not blown over, so also it is necessary for us to be spiritually strong in the Lord, so that when the winds of life, whether it's family problems, job stress, health difficulties, they don't blow us over. But we remain strong and enduring with the help of God. With being strong in the Lord, not only are we able to bear up, but we also find reason for joy and peace and hope in the midst of trials. Really, Pastor, joy in the midst of problems? You got to be kidding me. No. When we go through trials, it can be a blessing. Just think of it. When you have problems, trials, and tribulations, what do? You look to God's Word and His promises that He gives you in the Word, strengthens you in your faith, draws you closer to the Lord. There's the goodness that can come from a trial, a problem, with God's help. Thank God for the gift of faith, hope, and love, which He blesses us with through the word of the truth of the gospel. May God, in His rich grace and mercy, enable us through that word to continue to grow in knowledge, wisdom, faith, hope, and love in the Lord. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. In addition to the general prayer, our prayers are requested for Ida Drews, who's the mother of my wife, Barb. And this past week, she underwent eye surgery. It was very difficult, complicated, and long and involved. It was to deal with a problem with glaucoma. So we don't know what the results of the surgery are yet, but we want to thank the Lord for bringing her through safely. Heavenly Father, who hears and answers all our prayers for Jesus' sake, we humbly thank and praise you that you have heeded the prayers of Ida, her family, and fellow believers. You brought her through surgery safely. We pray, O Lord, that you will be with her in her recovery, and we pray that the final result of the surgery will be successful. Help her to heal and grow and increase in strength. Restored in body and renewed in spirit, may she serve you faithfully in righteousness and godliness all the days of her life, living by the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us all and gave himself for us. May we join Ida in thus serving you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. A Holy Spirit who has given his faith to accept our Lord Jesus Christ and salvation offered in his name, make us diligent students of our Savior's word, so that we read it faithfully in our daily devotions and come regularly to his house of worship to hear it proclaimed. Help us understand and remember the scriptures so that our faith may be nurtured and enjoy a steady growth. Enable us to apply the spiritual lessons we learn from the Word to our daily lives. Foil the schemes of Satan and all false teachers who seek to rob us of a clear understanding and right interpretation of the Word, and help us stand firm in the truth, your Word of truth. As we grow in faith, remove also from us all thoughts, all speech, all desires, and all deeds which do not glorify God. Give us the power to refuse temptations and to shun sin. Teach us acts of love and kindness and mercy, that we do not pass by our needy neighbor unheedingly, but rather that we lend him aid. Cause every Christian virtue to be found in us, that we may present these good works to Christ as thank offerings for his gift of everlasting life. Increase in us a feeling of responsibility for the souls of others, making us willing to share the gospel with them. Help us to be instant in prayer so that we cast all our burdens upon God. Meanwhile, comfort us with the precious knowledge that he cares for us. When we pray, give us the grace to believe that we shall receive those things for which we ask that are in accordance to his will. O divine counselor, abide in us. Be our strength, our hope, and our light to encourage and to guide us through our remaining years until we're safely home with our Savior in heaven. Be merciful to all who are weary and worn with physical problems and emotional pressures. Relieve them according to your good pleasure. Bind up the wounded, heal the sick, bring solace to the sorrowing, and restore the erring. Forgive our many sins. We ask all this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please rise. We continue our service with the liturgy on page 9. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name. We give thanks to you, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his word we pray, as we now join to pray that prayer which he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. Those who wish to receive the Lord's Supper where they're seated, please take the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the Christian faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Now those communicants who wish to receive the Lord's Supper at the Lord's table, come forward under the direction of the usher. Amen. Good morning. Besides the notes from the bulletin today for concerning announcements, I'd like to read from you a letter that we received this morning. This is from Pastor David Udy. Dear members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, Mountain View, California, I'm writing to inform you of my response to the divine call that our Lord sent to me through you. After much prayer and meditation on God's word, considering the needs of the kingdom both here and there, I have become convinced that the best way for me to serve our Lord right now is to accept your call and come to you. Excuse me. It is human to have emotion, I guess. Let me start that sentence again. I have become convinced that the best way for me to serve our Lord right now is to accept your call and to come to be your pastor. I ask you to pray for me and my family and congregation. This will be a difficult time for us. I'm excited to come and work among you, but I also love the people here dearly, whom I now must leave. Never easy to leave. It will also be a difficult time for my family, as we will be leaving our home and going far away from many of our family members and friends. I trust the Lord's promise that He will be with us and bless us, and I know that we will also find with you the same kind of Christian love and home that we have known here. I do not yet know what the timing of our move out there will be. There are several details and difficulties to figure out, so I will be in communication with the congregation's leadership to figure that out. May the Lord be with you all. In Christ, Pastor David Udy. And concerning the notes in the bulletin, as mention made of that there's a work to be done at the parsonage this afternoon with a man and his family coming, kind of add some urgency to get ready for them. So that will be this afternoon at the parsonage. The women's auxiliary are also asked to meet after the church service. There are calendars for the month of August that are available in the distribution boxes as well as on the table. Jan Messerschmidt, you know, I have difficulty saying your name sometimes. I don't know why. Isn't that any more difficult than Gullerud, I don't think, but Jan Messerschmidt has some tomatoes for any who would like to have some homegrown tomatoes. The church council will be meeting next Sunday after service. Also, our brethren in Southern California will be worshiping there at 6:30. Pastor Krause, who lives in Watertown, South Dakota, will be serving them with the word and sacrament. Oh, and there's an anniversary service here. And this is not my doing. But I think at the urging of the women of our congregation and the consent of the council, on August 17th and Sunday, the congregation will be observing my 50th anniversary of my ordination ministry. Appreciate that. And they have invited Pastor Drew Nauman to be the preacher for that day. And may God in His grace be with you always. Oh, we want to point out Corrine, who is the daughter of Roy and Nancy Cameron, and she's looking for work. And hopefully in the Bay Area, so that would be great if the Lord blesses you with that.